Communism in Germany, Part 5, High Treason. The next stage of the immediate preparation of the armed rising consists in the subversion of the opponent, and first and foremost of his organisations for attack and defence. Important objectives of the communist subversion work were SA, SS, Stahlhelm, Army and Police. The fundamental document about the strategy and tactics of the armed rising, which in the year 1928 is said to have been published by Otto Meyer, Zurich, and written by the notorious communist terrorist and expert in subversive literature, Heinz Neumann, who uses the assumed name A. Neuberg, contains a detailed theory of the work under Fighting Forces of the Bourgeoisie. The book of Neumann Neuberg, Der Bewaffnete Aufstand versus einer theoretischen Darstellung, is one of the most important documents for the training of the communist defence organisations for military purposes. Taking this book as a basis, the training of the future soldier of the Red Army and the Cheka in Germany has been proceeded with. Besides this book, the library of a Bolshevik terrorist had to contain two other works: The Military Politics of Schriften von Engels und Lenin, published by Internationaler Arbeiterverlag, and the equally illegal book of the Hans Kippenberger, alias Alfred Langer, Der Weg zum Sieg, Die Kunst des Bewaffneten Aufstandes, said to be published by P. Meyer, Zurich. Published by the same firm, behind which, naturally, a communist organisation took cover, there also appeared in the illegal monthly magazine October, Military Politische Zeitschrift, edited by Ernst Schneller, member of the Reichstag. Among the collaborators of this strictly secret leader's periodical are a number of authors who sign their contributions with pseudonyms, e.g. Adolf, Max, Theo, etc. Naturally, all the rules of conspirators were observed when sending out these periodicals, which are seldom dispatched through the post, or when they are in a misleading envelope, normally by courier, to intermediate or false addresses. The card index of the subscribers is written in cipher and made safe many times over so that the distributing centres have not yet been discovered, nor has it been possible to confiscate and destroy these papers. Neuberg Neumann speaks of the necessity of the work of subverting the army, the method of work being as follows. Quote, "The attitude of the revolutionary proletariat to the imperialistic war, in keeping with Lenin's principle, is the transmutation of this war into civil war, towards the army, which is the most important factor of the imperialistic war. The attitude of the party and of the whole revolutionary proletariat must be such that they work for the complete subversion of the imperialistic army, and the going over of masses of soldiers to the side of the revolutionary proletariat. That is the aim and object of the work of the party in the army. But it is achievable only with the complete victory of the proletarian revolution. As long as the power is in the hands of the bourgeois state, the bourgeois army will remain one of the decisive components of that state. It is the task of the proletariat, no matter what the political situation in the country may be, to subvert the bourgeois army as far as possible and to revolutionise it." Close quote. Alfred Langer expresses himself in very much the same way. Quote, One of the most important preliminaries to this fight is tireless, obstinate, systematic work, shrinking from no terrorism within the armed forces of the bourgeoisie, a continuous revolutionary education of the soldier masses. Close quote. The German Communist Party has, in the spirit of these theories, issued many times exact directions for the work in the national associations of the army and the police, the already well-known illegal special organisations, especially the intelligence service, the enemy observation section, the OSNA, the RFB, and above all, the AM organisation carried out the work of subversion. A circular of the AM organisation contains the following paragraph. Quote, "At first, it is necessary to get the wrong idea out of the heads of comrades that all policemen are bloodthirsty hounds. There are, naturally, swine among them, and these should be particularly noted. At demonstrations, as well as on other days, there are always chances of arguing with police officers. For example, there was such a possibility at the last disturbances in Moabit. Observation showed that such chances are made use of only in a few cases. What subjects should be discussed with police officers? First of all, our programme and demands in general. Then the conversation will, as a rule, turn to the present situation, strikes, meetings, illegal demonstrations, etc." Close quote. In harmony with the theoretical principles of Neuberg, however, the subversion of the army, police, and of the national associations was undertaken by the AM organisation professionally. At the same time, the whole organisation of communism was used for this treasonable activity. I quote the following sentences from the secular of the German Communist Party information section regarding the work among the relatives of members of the army. Quote, "Besides work among the fascist formations, work among members of the army is absolutely necessary, not only where they are stationed, but where they have their homes. With us, it is not only the task of individuals, but of the whole organisation. The officers are reactionary almost to a man. With the rank and file, the following attitudes have been observed. With some, fairly large bodies, dislike of the Nazis, who are regarded as competitors. Besides this, everywhere, keen interest for everything that happens in the Soviet Union. There is a certain amount of dissatisfaction with the pay. The system of promotion is a further cause of discontent. In our public meetings, everywhere where we came into contact with workers, the material mentioned here must be exploited to the full. In our newspapers for factories and blocks of houses, especially in undertakings vital in war and in army garrisons, these facts must be published and commented upon, special references being made to their value for the bourgeoisie in preparing for war and civil war." Close quote. This document is a striking proof not only for the theoretical, but also for the purely practical, treasonable work of all communist organisations, however harmless they may seem on the outside. The following questionnaire is another proof. It was distributed among the members of a party conference held in Berlin at the beginning of February 1933 and had to be given back in immediately after being filled in. It reads a word for word as follows. Quote, "Have you thought how important it is for the party to be informed of the plans of the bourgeoisie in a good time, and to know the feelings of the classes which they are plotting against us? We want to help you. 1. Have you any acquaintance or relations in opponent organisations of any kind, of whom you know that they are already uncertain or sympathise with us? too. Do you know any technical workers, engineers or chemists in undertakings vital in war or who work in research institutes? 3. Have you any relations, acquaintances or school friends in concerns vital in war and peace who control the lifeblood of such concerns? 4. Have you any connections with the Social Democratic Party, Reichsbanner, or Free Trade Union functionaries? 5. Have you any connections with members of the SA, SS, or NSDAP, or with the Tenno Stahlhelm, or members of the Arbeitsdienst? 6. Do you always keep your eyes open for provocateurs and agents who work in our ranks? Do you know that the police are trying might and main to smuggle elements of this nature into the party? 7. Have you any acquaintances who do business with such people? 8. Have you reflected that umpteen comrades have friendships with members of the army and the navy? Have you any such friends? Have you girlfriends or acquaintances who are employed by people who are of importance to us? Do not think your information is not important. Even the smallest bit of news is valuable. Close quote. With unsurpassed energy and minuteness of detail, opposing organisations were spied upon and the way paved for their subversion. Such questionnaires were frequently distributed with the object of their being collected in some central office, gone through and made use of. They were carefully studied when it was a matter of spying upon the police forces, the SA and the SS. The following sheet of questions was distributed by the head office of the Enemy Observation Section to all members of the Intelligence Service and the Enemy Observation Section with the request for an immediate answer. 1. Is there a section of the NSDAP in your local group? A. A storm troop of the SA and SS. B. Number of the troop and its strength. C. Name of the leader. D. What are the subdivisions of the troop, the troops of runners, the intelligence section, etc. E. Is there a mounted section? 2. How many police stations are there in your district? A. Number of the station. B. Strength. C. Name of officer. 3. Is there a Nazi barracks in your sphere of work? B. Number of men. How armed? Carbines, machine guns, etc. C. Have we any connections with the Nazi barracks through one of our liaison men? D. What opportunities are there for attack? 4. Automobile park of the police and auxiliary police. A. Where are the police cars garaged? How are they guarded? B. Where are the SS and SA cars garaged? How are they guarded? C. Are there any armoured cars near the police station? If so, how many are there and where are they garaged? 5. Do the formations of the SA, SS and Stahlhelm work together? How do they work together? Is there any possibility of getting subversive literature into the sections? If so, to whom should it be delivered? Give exact address. The chiefs of the enemy observation sections must at once expel reliable comrades for certain definite reasons. The expulsion of the men in question must be made known to all members. The duty of the expelled men is as follows: to gain entrance into opposing organisations, all necessary precautions being observed. Organisation of the Intelligence Service. A. How is the organisation armed? Are the members of the organisation trained in military fashion? Where, if possible, state training ground? B. Where are the stocks of arms kept? How strong is the guard of the building where the arms are kept? C. Are there any machine guns, carbines, machine pistols, U-8 pistols, etc.? If possible, give number. Further observation and reporting on the opponent follows naturally from the observation. Money from the fund of the enemy observation sections is at the disposal of the comrade concerned on his stating for what purpose. The comrade concerned will receive further information on reporting. Results of the communist espionage have been seized in many cases, for example, in the trial of Emil Jogl for high treason. And there are some sketches here reproduced which were found in Vogel's flat. Naturally, if properly conducted, subversive work is to produce valuable results. Spies must be properly trained. This training was carried out in special military courses of the AM organisations, for which very detailed instructions were distributed by the head office of the AM management as late as February 1933. 1. Strictly confidential, not suitable for the normal run of business. Details, of course, for the military tasks of the revolutionary proletariat. Contents. The army, the organisation of the army, the importance and part played by the army, analysis of classes represented in the army and its ideology, the political, official and material position. The effect of the crisis on the army, fundamental contradictions in capitalist military policy, the effects of the crisis on the army, the crisis and disintegration from within, the line of propaganda, general political points of view, capitalist and proletarian military policy, watchwords and paroles in the agitation, part demands, means of propaganda and methods of work, general means and methods, special means of agitation and propaganda, methods of distribution of literature, the forms of organisation and work among soldiers, the military organisation, the organisation of the entrance of revolutionary elements into the army, the work among former soldiers, the organising of the revolutionary work among soldiers, enclosures, 1. The formation of the army, 2. Establishment of officers and other ranks, 3. The social standing of members of the army, 4. A list of literature and table of payments. 2. Strictly confidential, not suitable for the normal run of business. Details, of course. The work among the police. Contents, 1. A revolutionary task, fundamental attitude. 2. The police, history, formation, application, class, warfare, material, political and official position. 3. Crisis, growth of the revolution. Effect, the police during and after the armed rising. 4. Line of propaganda, general points of view, political lines of demands. 5. Means and methods of propaganda. Special means, methods of distribution of literature. 6. How to influence the army, the getting of agents and bases. 7. Work on the masses, the ideological struggle, mobilisation of the masses. A feverish activity of the AM subversion organisation developed at the end of 1932 and the beginning of 1933. It was intended to work intensively among the police and army members on Christmas leave. The circles of friends of the police and the army were subjected to close and detailed spying. In the middle of January 1933, a meeting of the functionaries of the AM organisation at the command of the Berlin-Brandenburg district took place, and among other things, the following statement was made. Quote, "It is of the greatest value to get hold of former members of the army. They must be used to get connections with soldiers under the colours. In the event of an armed rising, their military knowledge must be used by appointing them leaders of separate groups. It is further confidentially stated that other methods must be selected for getting new connections with the army or police. The existing reliable connections must get the names of members of the army or police officers who have committed some crime of which the authorities are in ignorance. These men can then be forced to cooperate by threatening to inform the commanding officer of their offence. This sphere of communist work is little known to the general public, so that it has been possible for the impression to get abroad that army and police are immune against such attempts at subversion, and that the German Communist Party had given up the idea of undermining these two most important pillars of the state and of the nation. The truth is exactly the opposite. What has actually taken place on this fighting section may be compared only to an incalculable flood of subversive attempts of all kinds, which uninterruptedly inundated the armed forces of the country. No police squad, no police station, no barracks, no warship was spared subversive treatment. Insufficient public attention was directed to this procedure of the German Communist Party until it was too late. Thus it is that it has been possible only recently to get a clear survey of the extent of communist attempts at subversion in army and police, and that naturally only so far as certain facts have come to light. Survey of communist subversion activity in army and police between January the 1st and December the 31st, 1932. Criminal cases. Army. Number of police investigations, 457. Number of criminal cases handed over to the public prosecutor, 365. Number of arrests, 98. Number of persons sentenced, 75. The police. Number of police investigations, 708. Number of criminal cases handed over to the public prosecutor, 506. Number of arrests, 121. Number of persons sentenced, 91. Total. Number of police investigations, 1,295. Number of cases handed over to the public prosecutor, 931. Number of arrests, 219. Number of persons sentenced, 169. According to this, there were in 1932, in all, 1,225 communist attempts at subversion investigated by the police, of which roughly two-thirds were actually among the police forces. In this one year, there were thus almost 100 criminal cases of subversion handed over to the public prosecutor. In spite of the notoriously complicated and protracted proceedings in the Supreme Court, no fewer than 169 persons were sentenced on account of subversive work among the army and the police. On an average, then, last year, there were 3 to 4 cases of subversive work per day. A sentence was pronounced by the Supreme Court every other day, and every week no fewer than 4 arrests were made. How, over the whole field of communist activity, the Bolshevization in this special section increased from month to month and reached its highest point in the first quarter of 1933 may be seen from the following table. And we can see a table here that shows you that it increases as time goes on. It goes from number of police investigations at the beginning of the year, 256, and later on in the year, 447. Thus, the number of subversive attempts investigated by the police was almost doubled between the last quarter of 1932 and the first quarter of 1933, and the number of arrests was considerably larger. The number of police investigations made on account of subversive attempts among the police forces and that of the arrests made in the army for the same reason was especially striking. The commonest form of subversive work within army and police is the distribution of subversive literature of all kinds, illegal brochures, leaflets, cell periodicals, etc. In the year 1932, 1,367 cases of the distribution of subversive literature among army and police were known officially. In 235 cases, subversive literature was confiscated by the police, and in 620 cases, criminal cases were handed over to the public prosecutor on account of the distribution of literature of that class. Again, the great mass of this literature falls to the share of the police, 885 against 482 in the army. Now, I'll just interject here and say that the subversive literature is now officially given out by the state. All this literature and diversity programs that people have to go on, telling them that everyone is equal, that they can't arrest the blacks, they can't profile blacks, even if they've been given a description of a black criminal, they're not allowed to go searching for a black criminal. They're not allowed to say it's a black criminal. They're not even allowed to give out the description because that's racist. So all these diversity training, equality training, all of that is the end result of this subversive literature. It's no longer subversive literature from an enemy group trying to take over the country. It's literally sent out by the state to the army and the police to program them into going along with it. They use neuro-linguistic programming to get people to go along with it as well. By telling people that they are racists and sexists, even if they aren't, they will tell them that they are and make them feel bad about themselves and make them feel that the right way to do the right thing is to go along with their communistic equality type programming. And all the police and the army have to go through this now. And back then in Germany, they could see that this was being sent in from a foreign government, from the USSR. It was being sent in by the communists to try and take down the country and then take it over. Of course, that's the same thing that's going on today. These Jews that are at the root of all of these diversity courses and equality training, they're using it to subvert society and take down white people as a whole. Rather than just taking down the country, they want to take down white people as a whole. And it's going on in every white country. Every white country is now being forced to prosecute so-called hate crimes and hate speech. And as we've seen with this equality brainwashing, it's basically making certain that people are employed and promoted just for the fact that they're queer, or the fact that they're black, or the fact that they're female. No longer are people promoted for being a success at what they do. They are promoted purely because of the fact that they are part of a privileged minority. We can also add to this subversive activity the calls for more and more immigration, and the idea that we somehow owe these other races and that they're somehow our responsibility to allow them into our countries. All this subversive propaganda to allow an invasion from a foreign force, to allow the invasion of the third world and not to fight back, not to fight back against this replacement of our people. So this subversive activity that in Germany was going on by the handing out of magazines and subversive magazines to the police and the army, it now goes on over the airways, over our radios and over our television sets, in our newspapers, all from where these same Jews that were handing this stuff out in Germany are now controlling all our media. And that's where all this subversion is coming from. That's where it was coming from in Germany too. We've got to put a stop to it. That's part of the reason why we have Radio Stormer, is to counter this subversive propaganda that comes out from the enemy.
You're tuned in to Radio Stormer on a daily basis.